The world is a darksome and dangerous place, filled with violence, cruelty, and brutality. In most places, false pagan religion has the upper hand. Christians are objects of scorn and bitter persecution. Human trafficking makes a few men very rich and debases everyone it touches. Politics is not about promoting the common good. It is about enhancing the power and wealth of politicians, most of whom would rather tell a lie than stand by a difficult truth at a personal cost. Sexual debauchery and divorce on demand have nearly destroyed marriage, and women are treated with contempt by too many men, either as objects of lust or domestic servitude. Children who are not wanted for any reason may be lawfully killed either in the womb or even after birth. And suicide is defended as a rational and honorable choice for anyone who no longer wants to live. Drunkenness and drug addiction are rampant and are excused as legitimate escapes from the horrors of life. The armed forces, once the repository of moral order and personal virtue, have been corrupted both by political interference with military affairs and by moral degeneracy among the troops, masquerading as personal autonomy. And finally, borders lie open and unprotected, allowing people to move freely about the world, some, yes, to promote commerce, but others to bring havoc, by violence to test the resolve and the ability of the only superpower to defend its own people and maintain international order. The year is 55 AD, and this is the Roman Empire. The world through which St. Paul the Apostle traveled to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Today is the fifth and final Sunday on which the second lesson is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. We have already seen that St. Paul traveled to the region of Galatia in modern Turkey on his second and third missionary journeys, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and organizing Christian communities in the towns and villages settled 300 years before by Celts from Gaul. Paul's authority to teach in the name of the Lord Jesus was later challenged by other preachers who insisted that because Paul did not know the Christ during his earthly ministry, Paul could not be a true apostle. And even more, these new preachers insisted that Paul had misled the young Christians in Galatia by not teaching them to be circumcised and then to observe the more than 600 ceremonial precepts of the law of Moses. In other words, Paul did not teach them that in order to become faithful Christians, they must first become observant Jews. Paul's letter to the Galatians is then his reply to these false preachers, these heretics, and he begins by explaining that he did become an authentic apostle with a genuine mission to preach. Because the Lord Jesus revealed himself Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road and filled his mind with knowledge and understanding of the good news of salvation, and then sent the converted Paul to preach the gospel everywhere. Paul goes on to recount his meeting in Jerusalem with Simon Peter, Cephas, and with the other apostles in the holy city, where he is confirmed by them in his mission to the Gentiles, and where the apostles and elders agreed that Gentile converts to Christ must not first become Jews. And the rest of the letter to the Galatians is then a beautiful explanation that man is made just before God, not by any work of his own or by observance of the law, but by grace through faith in Jesus of Nazareth as Messiah and Lord. And at the heart of faith in Christ is the saving truth of his atoning death on the cross and his glorious resurrection from the dead. Paul explains that justifying faith is ordinarily given by God in the sacrament of holy baptism, in which we are clothed with Christ and become children of Abraham by the gift of faith. And in this new life of grace, Paul continues, the Christian finds the freedom of the children of God, which is not the license to do whatever we want, but the liberty to do everything we should, the liberty to live according to Christ's law of love. Then, to illustrate the difference between the old pagan life and the new Christian life, Paul sketches the picture in his letter of what follows depending on whether one lives according to the gospel or not. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious, Paul writes. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. I warn you, writes Paul, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In contrast, he continues, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. It is worth noting that the Greek word, which is here translated as sorcery, is pharmakeia, and it actually means using drugs for immoral purposes, including the attempt to prevent pregnancy or to induce an abortion. But that is a topic for a different homily on another day. And so we come to this morning's passage from Galatians and the summary of Paul's teaching. May I never boast except at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither doth circumcision mean anything, nor uncircumcision, but only a new creation. Peace and mercy be to all who follow this rule and to the Israel of God. So for St. Paul, the heart of Christian faith and life, the heart of being crucified to the world, is being a new creation. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the apostle explains what he means by that phrase. Whoever is in Christ, writes Paul, is a new creation. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. But here arises yet another question. What does it mean to be in Christ? The Catechism of the Catholic Church is an authentic compendium of everything contained in the Gospel, whether written in Holy Scripture or handed on in apostolic tradition. And the Catechism is organized into four major parts. Part one is called the Profession of Faith. Part two is called the celebration of the Christian mystery. Part four is called Christian prayer. And part three, between the profession of faith and the sacraments on the one hand, and the life of prayer on the other, part three is called life in Christ. So what does it mean to be in Christ? Anyone who thinks that the answer to this question can be condensed to a slogan on a bumper sticker has never understood the riches of life in Christ, and it takes a lifetime of continuing conversion, constant study, assiduous prayer, and selfless service to others to know and understand the fullness of being a new creation. of living in Christ. But this we know, being in Christ, living in Christ, loving in Christ, and yes, dying in Christ, these are the means of finding divine peace and mercy. These are the means of understanding our purpose and transcending our suffering. These are the means of grace by which God the Son, the Father's eternal Word, gives us freedom, light, and love. And that is being a new creation. The first Christians, like those in Galatia, were such a contrast to the darksome world in which they lived that they attracted people in great numbers to faith in Jesus Christ simply because their lives, their being a new creation in Christ, clearly demonstrated the more excellent way of freedom, light, and love, which is the way of the cross. And as that was the way of the first evangelization, so must it be now the way of the new evangelization. But walking the way of the cross, showing the more excellent way of divine love, is impossible for us without the assistance of grace. And so, as Paul concluded his letter to the Galatians, I conclude my words to you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.